Thank you so very, very much. What a wonderful sermon we had this morning. Every time I'm sitting back there waiting for Mike to get up, looking forward to hearing him, he just surprises me every time. He's got a good one every time he gets up in the pulpit. And we appreciate him and Jackson and Sam and Mary's wife. We're just delighted that we have them among us. And Shirley's doing a tremendous job in the preaching of the word. And over here's Matt Taylor, and he's out doing a wonderful preaching job. You can hear him, and we're just so proud of him and thankful that we have had a part in his life and preaching and teaching, and he continues to just excel. And I know one of the reasons is because he's got such a good wife, too. I'll tell you that Leah is tops. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the good singing tonight, the prayers, and everything. For just a little while, I want to talk to you tonight about a statement made in Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, we find where the Bible tells us something about our God. When you look at the book of Ephesians, you find six chapters. As a matter of fact, the last part of the first chapter, he has put all things under his feet and given him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2 tells us about grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then the verse tonight that we're going to be circling and emphasizing. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we seek or ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's add chapter 4, for in chapter 4 we find where Paul writes, in beginning in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, one God and Father of all. No, now listen what he says. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Chapter 5 deals with a beautiful relationship, wives and husbands. Why, as a matter of fact, Paul writes, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, that's a great one. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Chapter 6 deals with our precious children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Great, wonderful principles that are taught by the Apostle Paul to these brethren over at Ephesus. Let's go back now to chapter 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him, we're talking about God, looking toward God. Now unto God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And when I was studying that, I couldn't help but just think, you mean to tell me beyond anything that I ask, anything that I can think, that he's able to go beyond that? Oh, yes. Above anything that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Would you like to be in prison? No. Have you ever been in prison? Hope not. Hope you never have to be. Paul, he was now in a prison in Rome. Paul is writing to this church that he loves. And he's going now, after he'd made his appeal to Caesar, he's going to be judged in Rome. He's in prison. Guess what? He wants the brethren to realize, listen, the thing that's happened to me, it's really going to be okay. Notice that he says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. I'm being tried. I'm going through these things. Don't faint. Don't you give up. You see, I'm going to help you by telling you about one who loves you. And you know what he does? He just bows his head in prayer. What a prayer. Listen to him. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the goodness of God. Paul is writing to these brethren. He wants them to not faint. Now he's saying, I'm praying for you. You know, he had confidence. He believed that God would answer that prayer. And then he said, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. How do we pray over difficult circumstances? Or do we even pray? When you get discouraged, and we do, I do. Most of us do. When things don't go very well with us, what do? I hope we'll remember what Paul said he did. He went to God, and he knew that God was able to hear his prayer. He knew that God could help him. And I want to suggest to you, you know why he went to God? He believed in God. There are people today who say they don't believe in God. Well, as a matter of fact, in Psalms 14, verse 1, the Bible says the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Can you imagine someone saying, I don't even believe in God? What will they say when they stand before him in the great judgment of God? It's written, Paul said in Romans 14, verse 11, quoting Isaiah 45, verse 23, as I live, saith the Lord. What does the Lord say? Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Oh, but when you think of what God tells us in his word, that even the firmament declares the glory of God. In Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Just look at it. At night when you go out and you behold the sunset. In the morning when the beautiful sun comes up, when we went out to Yuma, Arizona, we could see some of those beautiful sunsets that I'd ever seen in my life. What is it all saying? There is a God. And thank God we can believe in him. You know, when you think about God, Paul, he spoke of him in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the worlds and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he had need of anything. Why? Because he gives to us, all of us, the breath of life. No wonder, my friend, you can read in 1 John 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Joshua tells us that he's an old man. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, he speaks. And listen what he has to say. And behold, this day I am going the way of the earth, all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. You know what that means? It means when God speaks, he means what he says. He was able to lead the people of God through the Red Sea on dry ground, Exodus 14, 16. He was able, as Mike referred to him this morning, he was able to help this young boy, David, and out of the stones that he selected, he took one, and when he threw it or had it thrown into the very forehead of the giant, 1 Samuel 17, verse 49, he was able to be with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And you know what? They did not even get their hair singed. Daniel 3, 16 through 23. God was able. Here was a sinful woman that had been taken to the very act of adultery. And you know how Jesus settled it? They that are without sin, let him cast the first stone. From the oldest and to the youngest, every one of them turned away. Things don't always go so smoothly with us, whether you're young, middle-aged, or old. Problems arise. If for no other reason, we live in a problem world. For example, people get laid off. Boy, some folks know that. I was listening to Chris Wallace today talking about millions of people who have no jobs. And then homes are foreclosed. People lose their homes. Can't pay for them. Yes, some with bankruptcy. How it looms on the horizon for them. Families can be so dysfunctional. Oh, so many families hurt and they ache. Yes, friends, marriages sometimes get so strained. Oh, how sad it is to hear marriages being broken up. Children leave God. Yes, sometimes they even leave their families. When you look at congregations that are struggling today to reach out and save those that are lost, sometimes we lose members faster than we gain others. Why? People are not interested so much in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is life hopeless? Is there any hope? It's easy to look at a situation and feel hopeless. Let's just remember this. Our promise by our Savior is that he will save us in the end. Wherefore, he, Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God was able to let the devil take all that Job had. What a terrible thing for him to have to go through. He lost his wealth, his children, his servants, even his health. And then, guess what? At the end, it's doubled up. Except for his family, and he still gets seven sons and three daughters. When Job didn't know what was going on, Job 1 verse 21 says that he made the statement, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken the way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to live that way. I hope you'll want to live that way. Young people, that's the only way to live. Praise God, even when things go against you. Because you see, Job had the answer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the end, God blessed him. not only did he have 7,000 sheep, now he's got 14,000. Not only did he have 3,000 camels, he had 3,000, now he's got 6,000 yoke of oxen, over 500. 1,000 she asses, over the 500. Plus, he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God is able to do it, and he did it. And he's able to do that for us. Let's make O'Neill great again. Let's make O'Neill do all that we can to bring the lost and encourage those that are weak. God is an awesome God. Yes. Where are those that trust him? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord. Hebrews 13, 5, and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave you. I believe that. Where are all those who obey him? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Where are those that walk with him? In 1 John 1, verse 9, or verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. I know where they are. I'm here to tell you tonight where they are. Many of them make up the O'Neill Church of Christ. You. I've been with you for 20 years. I've seen some I used to carry in my arms. And now they're gone. Out to colleges and some are married. As you look back over the years, I've made many mistakes. I ask for forgiveness for that. But there is one thing that I always wanted to do, is to help in the work of God here at O'Neill. I used to come out here and preach in meetings. Some of you were alive then. Some of you used to remember when I was a younger man and I came to preach. And I remember going back to Weatherly. And I would tell the folks over at Weatherly, the elders and all, you know what? They wouldn't have to give me a penny to go there to preach. Because it's like a shot of penicillin when I go to O'Neill. You sure have blessed me. You blessed my good wife and my family. And I'm so grateful. Where are those that trust him, that obey him, and walk with him? Right here. Right here in the congregation. God's people. I want to suggest to you tonight, my friend, our God is able to do anything that he desires to do. He's capable of doing it. Look what happens when you are a Christian. He's able to forgive you forever. Every bad thing you've ever done, get it washed away in the blood of the Lamb. God is able to do it. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away. It doesn't stay with you. In the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ is the one that has done so much to pay for our sins. In Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us much more. And justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. 2 Peter 3 tells us, that God wants you and wants me and wants us all to what? To be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, and neither are we. We want everybody to come to a full knowledge of the truth and be obedient. It's worth the whole world. What does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 16 and verse 26. Yes, and when we get old, he uses us when we're willing to serve. I hope and pray that some of my last words will be in 2 Timothy 4, 7, 8. Fought a good fight, I finished the course. gift of faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness. Paul said, laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Love his appearing. What's that God able to do when all is spent? When your life doesn't seem much anymore, God can make you shine. God can give you hope. Someone said God will never leave you empty. He will replace everything you lost. If he asks you to put something down, it's because he wants you to pick up something greater. That's our God. God's promised to be with us. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, there we find that Isaiah promises that in God we can trust. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. To believe in Him. What more could we ask? What more can we do? Jesus is mine. All my strength is in Him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I think of Sister Ethel Looney. Y'all remember Sister Ethel Looney? James Luna's mother? 98 years old. I'd go over to the nursing home almost every time I'd go over there, Danny. Guess what? She'd have her Bible, and it'd be laying there, and she's either reading it, or you could tell she had just been reading it. She loved. I thought, 98, still wanting to know more about God, studying His precious Word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. I think of Jimmy Hargrave. I love that man. When he realized his life was now just about over, I was visiting with him in his home, and he looked at me and he said, Brother Guy, all things are just fine. I'm on my way to be with God. Do you have that kind of assurance? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I think of Andrew Ray. One of the last things that I remember, Sandra, in their home, that when I came in that night, I looked at him, he looked back at me, and he took his hands like this. I can see him in his bed, and he reached his hands up like this, and he said, Brother Guy, I'm going to go up there now. In just a little while, he passed into eternity. I've often thought, I hope and pray that I can have that kind of love to the very end for my God. Are you living for God? You can't die in Christ if you don't live in Christ. Thank you, Britt. He puts it in the paper. Live on ready. You get ready. You be ready. Don't you wait, none of us. And boy, it was a heartbreaker when I found out that Sister Linda Presnell had passed away. How we prayed, Glenn, for you and your family. It was so sad to know that she was gone, and she left us so quickly. We wanted to keep her, but God called her home. And our beloved brother, Grady Blakely, he too left so quickly. I know when I talked to Denise, she'd say, Brother God, just keep praying. One day she called me and she said, we're all here. Will you please lead us in prayer? They went through and still are praying. Just pray for Judy. Yes, we had to give them up. When you think there is no hope, God says, take my hand. and let me lead the way. Psalms 46, be still and know I am God. And we can do this together. The Lord direct the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. We sung it tonight. Our God is a God who is good. Yes, our God whose Son Jesus Christ is real. Yes, our God is a God whose Son can save from sin. And He wants everybody to be saved. Our God is a God that we love and know He will be with us to the end of the ages, because He's made that promise in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Therefore, let us never cease to praise His name forevermore. In conclusion, now unto Him that is able to do what? To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Don't ever forget that. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, won't you hear the word? Won't you believe it? Won't you repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be baptized? Or if you're an erring child of God, won't you come back? Come back to God by repenting, confessing, and praying. May God help us to always see and never forget our God. Whose God? My God. Our God. All of us together, our God. He is able. Why? Because He is God. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, won't you come and give me your hand tonight, but guard your heart. Obey Him now while together we stand.